Today's scripture is Ruth 1, 6 through 18. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may go become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return with after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Okay, so I just want to try this again so we hear it again. That last part, Cindy, if you could put it up, the part that says, "Do not press me to leave you." Let's read this together because this is the heart of what's going on here. Let's hear it. "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Wow. And then the last part of this, I think, is so amazing too, because when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she was speechless. And that's what I want to think about for a minute. Can you believe what Ruth just did? I mean, this is an incredible piece of a wonderful story, but an incredible piece of scripture. Who in their right mind would leave all they had to follow Naomi? Especially after she explains that she's pretty much doomed for the rest of her life in the society in which she lives. Doomed to poverty. Ruth, come on, wake up. Go back with Orpah, come on. At least in your own country, you've got a chance. Maybe it's only 1 in 100, but in Israel, if you follow Naomi, you are going to be stuck in the wilderness of Mara, of bitterness, all of your life. You're going to be a foreigner. They don't like foreigners there. Read some of the Old Testament. They don't like it. We can understand Naomi living that out because we can understand in a sense. I can't really understand it. Why wouldn't she just go back with Orpah? But it's an amazing story, isn't it? Because it's such a story of devotion and love. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you die, I will die. There I'll be buried. One of my favorite lines in this story is this one, and it comes right after that part. It comes after Ruth gives her devotion and love to Naomi, and it's verse 18. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she was made speechless. Now, just a couple of things here to notice. it wasn't Ruth's words that got Naomi. That didn't turn her speechless. What does it say? When Naomi saw that she was determined, right? She saw something in Naomi's eyes, right? That she was determined to be that way. That's what brought her to be speechless. It wasn't just her words. It was her words and her determination and her actions. And I want us to hear that. Naomi had probably had it up to here with words in her life. I mean, I know we're obsessed with them these days. If we can just say the right words. How many times have we said that? If we can just make our jingle bounce a little bit better than our competitors, you know? If we could just learn to twist things with our words enough, we can woo someone to come our way. I want people, I want to be a person who is known as a person determined to do what I say, not just somebody who says the words. But I hope people can see in who I am that I'm going to follow through. It's the follow-up to my words that makes me an image maker, a designer, a true, in this world we say, influencer, right? Influencer. Have you ever been made speechless by someone's actions? When I was a kid, lived in White Lake, and I was kind of a big cheese in White Lake. I was like top five in the little second grade basketball team, you know. Second graders, we were pretty into this thing. I scored 6 points once in a game, 4 points for our team, 2 for the other, but it was still 6 points. You know, I was kind of a big cheese, and then I moved to Wagner, and Wagner was a bigger school, right? And so I just assumed on that first day of school that I was going to be a big cheese. I just assumed, because that's the way I was. That's how I had lived most of my life. But I got there in fourth grade, and I remember nobody talked to me that first day. I remember going out to recess, and, you know, usually I was like the captain. I'd be the one picking everybody, but I remember getting out there on the sand lot out there where we were going to play some football, and so there were two captains who were going to pick teams, and look, if I'm not captain, I know I'm going to pick first or second, you know, because that's who I was. I was Brooke McBride. I mean, come on. And I watched as these guys picked and picked and picked and picked and passed me over and passed me over. There was one kid who only had one arm that got picked before I did. I was last, the last one. And then, you know, the game started, right? And both the captains, so my captain, I said, pulled him in the huddle. I said, I'm going to be open down in the end zone. And so I took off for the end zone. I was wide open. Nobody near me. I mean, completely open. I was going like this. Look, here I am, Russell. Wide open, touchdown, automatic. He looked at me, turned the other way, and threw the ball. Come on. I'm Brooke McBride. I could have scored a touchdown. And that went on for like weeks. And I thought to myself, whew, this is hard being in a new school. I remember one day getting followed by a bully all the way home. Goodness, I was a good runner that day. It was hard. And then one day, there was a captain who didn't show up. So the second guy in charge, Kurt, he was the captain that day. And he was picking people. And look, there were 3 people left. And he picked me, you know? So I felt like I was moving up the ladder, you know? I wasn't last. I'm moving up the ladder. And then I went out to for a pass. And I had figured out the end zone a little bit. There were cockaburs in the right side of the end zone, over in the east end zone. And so I figured if I went over there, nobody wants to guard me in the cockaburr area. So that's where I went. I went over there, and of course, I was wide open again. I was going, Kurt, 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 hey, 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 throw me the ball. And you know what he did? He threw me the ball. And it went, and it was just like all of a sudden, not only did the movie stop, but it was like slow motion, right? And it was coming right towards me, and I kept thinking, am I going to catch this thing? And I remember the bell rang, ding, 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 for the recess to be over, and I caught it. And I mean to tell you, well, I mean maybe three or four people cheered, but it was the whole recess area that cheered in my mind. I mean, and from that moment on, for about 2 or 3 days, I was speechless. I mean, I couldn't talk because I was smiling so much. I was so happy to finally have kind of made it. Kurt's actions, his generosity, his warmth, his you know, kind of willingness to let some other kid in on the action really caused me to be speechless, right? Words are just words. Paul puts it this way: if I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, not words, the actions of love, I am nothing. Words, they're nothing. But words connected to actions, connected to love and devotion, can stop this world just like that. Because all those gongs to stop clanging just long enough so that people can see what we're doing and then turn this world right side up. A kid can say they care, a high school kid, but if they get their hair cut, that's action, right? That speaks to this world. John Wesley was the founder of the United Methodist Church. If you don't know that, we'll teach in the next new member class. But back in the 1700s, and if you ever travel to England, how many of you have ever been to England? Yeah. Have you ever seen some of the John Wesley stuff? If you get a chance, please watch what's going on for John Wesley and his life. It's just an amazing story. But John Wesley was an Episcopalian priest, or an Anglican priest, and he had this idea. He was kind of mad at the church he was serving because they weren't reaching out to the world. They were very comfortable in their little rich setting. You know, everybody had their pew. If there was somebody who was a little bit, you know, wasn't wearing the right clothes, maybe didn't smell exactly right, they'd put those people up in the balcony. And there were some people they didn't even let into the church. There was a policeman with a billy club outside, kind of. And John Wesley went up to him one time and said, "What are you doing? Why are you here?" And he said, "I'm keeping the riffraff out, sir." And John Wesley one time stole that billy club from that cop, and he took it to the front of the church, and he whacked it on the table and broke it in half. And he said, "Not in my church. In my church, anybody is welcome." And then he started going out and preaching outside the church walls. This was unheard of back in the day. He'd go out where the miners were, the coal miners, and we'd preach. This is a stained glass window, which John Wesley would have hated, by the way, because he didn't like the fancy stuff. But it tells the story. He's out there, out in the fields, preaching, and he'd preach sometimes to 2,000, 5,000 miners, you know, coal miners, just out as they were coming home from work. Amazing story. But listen, when he started doing that, there were some people who didn't like it. Some other churches didn't like it. Some of his pastor friends didn't like it. And they started rousing up the crowd against him. And there were some serious stuff going on in England at this time. You know, they had rabble-rousers. They had people trying to get John Wesley in fights, you know, trying to get him arrested. I mean, it's crazy. Read some of the history. It is phenomenal stuff. But there's this one day when John Wesley is preaching, and there's this rich business owner right up front, and he is like spitting. He's yelling at John Wesley. Can't stand John Wesley. He doesn't want these poor people in his church. He doesn't want them change their lives. He just doesn't want it. And so he starts yelling at John Wesley, and finally he gets so mad, right at the end of John Wesley's sermon, he gets up there and he swats John Wesley right on the face, just pops him one, right? And John Wesley, oh, this is a true story, I'm not making this up, he turns the other cheek. He doesn't say a word. He turns the other cheek, and then looks back at the guy, and just waits, and the guy is speechless. And he goes home, and he's speechless. And he is up all night because he can't believe just what happened. And the next night, he again goes to hear John Wesley speak. And he's up there in the front row, but he's not saying anything. And at the end of the speech, the sermon, he bows and kneels before John Wesley and gives his life to Christ. He already was a Christian, but suddenly he really wanted to be a Christian, to follow the Jesus way of love. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. I will follow you. Those were his words, the words of his heart. Words really don't mean a thing unless we learn to follow through, right? In this world, there's a complete and utter idol out there, a complete and utter lie that we have come to believe. And this is it, and I do it a lot, that if we could just read the right self-help book, so all I have to do is read the thing, then I'm better, you know? If we could just read the right theologian, preferably David Orndorff over there, if we could just get our sights right, our theology straight in our head, if we could just get the concept right here, it's going to happen. We're like this football team that believes everything can be fixed in the film room. You know, if we could just see clearly what we need to do, get the X's and O's right, then we can just sit back, press the button, and it's finished. We're professionals, we say to ourselves. We've all gone to college. We know our bodies. We just need to see it on paper, get it up here right. So we read and read, and we talk and we talk, and we read and we read, and finally, we're there. That is not how it works. It's not how it works. In reality, we don't get it just by reading a book. Because it's not about getting it in our heads first. Our faith is a walking faith. It's a walking faith. We learn how to do by doing it, by practicing it. We don't have to be John Wesley or Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. We can really do things and change the world just by doing one action with all of our heart in full devotion. The movement of this daring, abiding love starts not at the top, but here in the ordinary. Ruth, by the way, didn't put up a website first. Did you know that? Or start a TikTok account first. She simply took her words and lived them into how many people? How many? One person. Naomi. One act. I will not leave you. And because of that, I think she started like a DNA gene going on. A DNA gene of love and devotion that passed through David, through Jesus, through Wesley, through Rosa Parks, through you and I. This is who we are. We learn to walk beside others, no matter what. Ruth, I think, was her generation's Rosa Parks. Just as Rosa would not move to the back of the bus, Ruth would not move and leave Naomi behind. Ruth didn't change the whole world that day. She changed Naomi's world. But eventually, a roaming rabbi named Jesus read about her, and when he died, they didn't say a mumbling word. He left the world speechless. And years later, there was a king named Martin Luther King who gave a speech about a dream. And when he died because of what he was doing, the whole world was silenced. And so I go back to that love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's say it together. If I speak in the tongues of human and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. I'm just going to say it again. The world is a noisy, clangy cymbal that gets louder and louder and louder the closer we get to election day, right? Our job is to silence it. Not by having a louder symbol, but by being Ruth's, by being a river of devoted love, by knitting these words, not just on our quilts and in our needlepoint, but especially in our actions. So let us speak these words and place them in our hearts today so that we can do them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. These words, where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you. And all the people said, let's sing together. Choir is actually going to sing for us.